And his brother's name was Joktan. He was one of my relations. So, no wonder there's so many tons around. In verse 25, it says here that Peleg, in his time, the earth was divided. See, the four major events, after the flood, the earth was still groaning. There was so much turmoil that went inside the earth and on the atmosphere. Everything was in such a turmoil. It hasn't stabilized yet. And then, during the days of Peleg, all that turmoil broke loose and it started what scientists today call the drifting continents. All the earth was one landmass. The only thing I've seen the theories, I read books on that too. I saw them piece it together but differently. Because the right way to piece it together in the Bible is to put it all together with Israel at the center. That is roughly the position of how the landmass looks like. And all the four rivers flowing out. See, sometime in Peleg's days, the earth started shaking. Boom, boom, boom. Perhaps the next morning he wakes up, walks into his bathroom and says, "Hey, where's the bathroom?" It has gone beyond the sea. Crosses the road to see his neighbor and say his neighbor is gone. In place of a neighbor was the sea. You pray God during those days that he doesn't part the room. When the husband wakes up, the wife is gone. The room neatly divided into half in the middle of the night. Something happened in those days and the earth was just drifted apart. All the continents drifted. Huge primeval forces were released. Now you notice something happening. Let me point. What happened in the days of Peleg? Now if you look carefully, in the book of Genesis chapter 5, that when it lists the age of the people, now all chapter 5 looks very, very dull. It's very interesting. Matthew 1 is very interesting. Wait till we reach the book of Leviticus, even more interesting. In chapter 5, when you see all the numbers and the figures there, you know, don't get too worried, they got truth inside. You notice that all those people live 900 over years, in 930 years in verse 5, and then another guy who lives about 800 odd years in verse 10, all between 800, some 800 plus, 900, you know, Methuselah, you know, the longest. And so all 900 plus. Suddenly, in Noah's time, the age was almost half. Look at the book of Genesis, chapter 11, verse 10, right on to verse 15. Shem was 100 years old and begot Arphaxad. And verse 11, after he begot Arphaxad, Shem lived 500 years. And verse 13, Arphaxad lived 400 years. And verse 15, Salah lived 403 years. You notice it's almost half. From 900 odd years, 800 odd years, now it's 500 or 400 plus. Do you notice it's almost exactly half? Because after Noah's flood, it was a different earth. Today you realize the radiation of the sun, all this affects the aging process. Gene formation, all affects UV light, ultraviolet light, and all this radiation can affect chromosomes, can affect genes, can affect, so that our lifespan is affected. It's all half. But an interesting thing happened in the days of Peleg. After the days of Peleg, in verse 17, it says, after he begot Peleg, Eber lived 430 years. But notice in verse 19, in the days of Peleg, remember, the earth was divided. Now, when the earth was divided, more poisonous substances are released from the depths of the earth. We know, for example, that radon gas, which is a radioactive gas, seeps from underneath the earth and is highly poisonous. A lot of things that are not yet discovered too, even today, that can affect our lives, shorten our lifespan. So here, in chapter 11, after Peleg's days, suddenly it was cut by another half. You never see more than 200 plus. Gone were the 400 plus. Gone long, long ago were the 900 plus, the 800 plus. After Noah, all 400 plus, 500 plus. Then after Peleg, all 200 plus. So something significant happened in Peleg's time that cut the edge. The dividing of the earth. Even more turmoils released on the earth. Until today, it's about 70 to about 120. So that's how the earth is as it is today. So the Bible is an interesting book. It will answer a lot of your questions that you normally have. The final event, chapter 11, in the first part, it says, and the whole earth, in verse 1, had one language and one speech. And you have the Tower of Babel. Basically, in verse 3, they say to one another, so it is from men. Come, let us make. In verse 4, let us build by men. And it says here, let us make a name for ourselves. To men. So the Tower of Babel was from men, by men, and unto men. It was man trying to establish his whole. And then you had the major event, the scattering of men. The dispersal of men all over the earth. And that's how you have conditions as it is today. As we move to the second part of the book of Genesis, starting from chapter 12. From chapter 12 right up to chapter 20 is the first major portion of the second part. The life of Abraham. Now remember that Abraham had altogether about 5 major revelations from God. 6 if you count the reputation. In the book of Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it says, now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country from your kindred into your father's house. But if you notice in the book of Acts, chapter 7, Acts chapter 7, verse 2, it says, men and brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran and said to him, get out of your country from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you. Look at it very, very carefully. It says the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia. Notice, before he dwelt in Haran. Genesis 12 verse 1 is in Haran. It says, before he dwelt in Haran, God appeared to him. That is Acts chapter 7 verse 2 and 3. So that tells me that in Genesis 11, towards the ending there, before he dwelt in Haran, in verse 29 to 31, chapter 11 of Genesis, Abraham and Nahor took wives. The name of Abraham's wife was Sarai. The name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren, she had no child. Terah took his son Abraham and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abraham's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. Now it says, before he dwelt in Haran, the Lord already spoke to him. So remember when you read the book of Genesis chapter 12 verse 1, it was not the first time God spoke. Genesis 12 verse 1 was the second time God spoke, repeating his first command. In other words, Abraham, if you notice when we study in the second part here, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. As you study the book of Genesis, remember, God in Exodus 3, so when he appeared to Moses, he says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Why does God refer to himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Because they are a type of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, don't run off yet. They are not perfect types. You find that Abraham was not a perfect type. You find that Jacob in his first part was of the flesh, not of the spirit. But we need to understand this is where the Bible hides truth in the book. It is trying to tell us there are truths about the Father God hidden in the life of Abraham in typology. There are truths about Jesus Christ the Son, the Word, hidden in Isaac, the typology of Isaac. There are truths on the Holy Spirit and how to yield to Him in the life of Jacob. So when God referred to Himself as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, He was talking about the Trinity, three persons in one. Abraham's story is a story of faith. Faith triumph. Isaac's story is the story of inheritance. Christ inherit. Jacob's story is a story of strife. He strived in the flesh. Later he learned to do it in the spirit. The spirit strives with flesh. The flesh and the spirit cannot live together. And you see that working in the life of Jacob. With that major outline, as you look at the life of Abraham now, God appeared to him many times. But when God appeared to him, one primary reason why God appeared to him and Abraham didn't follow. You know this in Genesis chapter 11. It didn't say that Abraham took Terah his father. Abraham's father was Terah. It says instead in verse 31, Terah took Abraham. It should have been Abraham took Terah. But better still, it should have been Abraham left Terah. You say, how cruel. Wait, don't write me down yet. Look at Joshua chapter 24. It tells us that Terah in Joshua chapter 24 was actually an idol worshipper who displeases God. Terah, the father of Abraham. Abraham was like you and I. Most of us didn't come from a Christian background. We were first generation Christians because we sought for the truth. In Joshua chapter 24, it tells us, in Joshua's statement in verse 2 and 3, Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwell on the other side of the river in old times, and they serve other gods. Notice, Terah was an idol worshipper. And so here, in Abraham's time, God was not only calling Abraham into the land of Ur to give him the promised land, God was calling him out of idol worshipping to worship the true and living God.